Top of the morning. I'm doing very well. Thank you.
Cool. That's cool. Okay. So, you know, you were on every week, 1 week after another, 1 week after another. And then all of a sudden, you weren't there. Were you mad? Were you mad at us?
Where have I gone? The question is, where have you gone?
I've been
doctor?
Here. I've been here sitting by the phone.
Yes.
Reminds me of somebody I once knew a long time ago. I sit by the phone and wait for it to ring, and it doesn't ring.
I actually had a romance that worked that way. But
besides that was my point. You see?
I'll tell you what this is.
What?
The question is, where have you been? Meaning, we spoke intensely about the legislative agenda coming up to the budget.
Yes, yes.
We then passed the budget.
Yes.
I then put on my other governor hat and do the other three quarters of the governor's job, which is flooding in Lake Ontario, a new idea for the Skyway in Buffalo, new Jones Beach, working on the MTA. I have a whole non-legislative portfolio,
details,
an operational job.
Details, details.
Now, I'll tell you something else that's interesting. I was thinking about this. You want to see a subtle change that made a major difference in coverage of state government. The press corps now sits in the Capitol in Albany.
Yeah.
And the Capitol is restored, and it's beautiful, and people from all over the state should come to see it, and they have a very nice place to sit now, and it has skylights, and the history has been glorified.
The million-dollar staircase.
Yes. In the old days, let's talk Mario Cuomo days.
Yes.
Mario Cuomo days, when he would travel, leave Albany, God forbid, the press would go with him. Why? Because there was a state plane called the G1, you remember, with the turboprops.
Yeah, yeah.
That sat about, I guess it was 30 people or so. And he would bring the press. And the press would come to the event, which changed coverage of state government dramatically. Because then it was not just about what was happening in the state capitol and the legislature and all the capitol intrigue and the palace intrigue and this assemblyman, this senator. It was flooding in Lake Ontario, which is real life. It was MTA service, which is real life. My father gets criticized in the campaign for use of the plane. George Pataki comes in, sells the plane, buys helicopters. Now the press can't travel, and the press remains in Albany. And I believe it's been a subtle, almost silly shift, but it really has affected the coverage, because I remember the press coming on the plane. When the president goes somewhere, the press goes, covers the event. And now the coverage has become capital-centric. So for me, it's when I am attending to intense legislative moments that the capital becomes relevant. But otherwise, I'm out there in the rest of the state doing my job.
Have you? The part of the story that I didn't quite get is Pataki gets the helicopters. They can't come. Papa had the plane that seated 39 people or whatever. Now, have we gotten a bigger plane that can, where they can come if they want to?
No. Here's the.
So you can't blame them. You got to blame yourself.
Yes. I blame myself for everything. Look, it all, I look
That's
in the mirror in the morning, and I go through the whole list. But here's what happens with the plane. They sell that plane. They keep the smaller planes that seat like five or six people that were existing. The plane I now fly on existed during my father's time. It's called the King Air. It sits about maybe six people. It's like a 1970s plane.
Seems like just yesterday.
Yeah, you can't take the press on the plane because it's too small. Plus, I guarantee they would get sick on the first flight and frightened and never return. But politically, nobody wants to buy a new airplane because yeah. If I buy a new airplane, then it's a political story. Governor buys an airplane for himself.
Yeah, but it sounded like you were criticizing the press for not doing what they used to do and coming with you. How can they come with you? What do you want them to
sorry.
Do, go up in a balloon?
No, I'm sorry. No, I was not criticizing the press. I think you're just being a little defensive, by the way.
Me?
I never meant the press. They don't have the option because they're not invited because there's no plane that fits them.
Okay.
And if we were in a more sensible state of mind, we would buy a new plane because we need a new plane. It would be large enough that the press could come like every other serious government. And there'd be a different type of coverage because it wouldn't all be through the lens of the Capitol, is what I'm saying.
Yeah. Now, I understand, and I have many questions to ask you about the end of the legislative session. But very quickly, I understand that you're spending more time in the Capitol itself right now, that you've brought some of your well-regarded muscle cars up here. So is that a recognition that the Capitol is the Capitol, and that you should be here?
We're selling the house in Westchester.
Right, I heard about that.
Since we're selling the house, I moved a couple of my cars to Albany. I have cars in Westchester also, because I still
what is a muscle
go
car?
Back and forth. I have a 1975 Corvette, which I've had since college, which is just nostalgic. I have an old GTO that I promised my daughters. I have a Ford Bronco, which is a truck, which I promised another daughter. And for me, it's a little therapy and a little anonymity when I want a semblance of privacy and reality in my life.
I read a book which said
snapshot.
I read a book that said you were out there. You know, that's how you earn money in college. You went out and you help people out in the middle of the night.
Yeah, I did. And the still to this day, I play with the cars. It's almost a form of therapy. You know, there's something about the mechanical as opposed to what we do every day, which is the emotional and dealing with people and the vagaries of people. Mechanics. If it's not working, there is a logical answer as to why it's not working.
So why are you selling the house?
The kids grew up in the house. I have three girls, as you know.
Yep.
Two are now graduated. They have apartments in New York City, and they're all about now starting their own careers, et cetera. And believe it or not, they don't want to come sit with Dad in the suburbs, and I invite them to come watch a movie. And they say, no, Dad, come down to the city and we'll go out.
Well, my kids come back. I don't get it.
I think there will be a phase where they come back.
Yeah, after they have kids. They'll have kids.
Yeah,
they'll come back.
I think after they get married, which I hope is not for many, many years, but they get married, they have kids, I think they will then come back.
Your father
but I'm in that hiatus now where sitting around with Dad on the weekend isn't the most appealing thing ever.
No, I can understand that. So let's go to a different place now, Governor. Let's talk about the end of the legislative session. Only a few days left. You got business to do. I got a letter today saying, how about death and dying? Is that going to get done? And then how about, you know, marijuana? Is that going to get done? And does he really want marijuana reform, or is he just kidding us? Because you once told me you thought it was a gateway drug and you changed your mind. So maybe we could deal with some of that.
Okay. Here's what I think. And I am going to focus on the legislative agenda because it's now ripe again, right? There is a hiatus, talking about hiatuses. There's a hiatus between after the budget is done and then the end of session. You sort of fall into that gap where there's a lot of noise, but towards the end of session, you have to get serious because now you need another passage of significant legislation. I also think it's an opportunity for New York at this time, in this national environment, to really define what it means to be progressive. Everybody's progressive now in the Democratic Party. They're all running for president. I'm more progressive. No, I'm more progressive. No, I'm more progressive. I'm further to the left. I fell off the planet. What does it mean to be progressive, doctor? And there's a certain selectivity now in the progressive world as I see it. These are issues that are progressive to me. And there's a certain pick and choose progressive ideology, which I do not believe is true progressive. Well, I think it's campaign finance reform. Well, I think it's the environment. That's fine. You may then have a position that is progressive on an issue, but I do not think you are progressive. Progressive suggests you adopt a progressive philosophy and tradition that is comprehensive. It suggests that you believe in helping minorities and civil rights and fighting poverty and helping the homeless, not just active on your specific issues. So for the rest of the session, I hope this legislative body really defines what it means to be a progressive legislative body the way we have so many times in this nation's history. There are 10 items that are on my list when I go to the legislature. I'll go through them quickly and then whatever you want to talk about. Rent regulations, which have to be done. Surrogacy law.
Well, the Daily News didn't like those rent regulations, according to the editorial this morning.
Yeah, well, not everybody is going to like everything, and that's why these issues are not done. The easy ones always get done first.
Right.
It's the tough issues that the legislature doesn't want to grapple with, right? The old saying, a legislator who does nothing wrong. It's much easier for a legislator just to avoid the difficult than to pass a controversial issue, especially in a legislative body where you have anonymity. Why didn't it pass? I don't know. I was in favor of it, but, you know, I don't know.
I got in the way of your reading your list. Go ahead, Gov.
Rent regulations. Surrogacy. 47 states allow an infertile couple or an LGBTQ couple to allow have a woman enter into a relationship where a woman can carry a child for them. 47 states, not in the state of New York. We're the state that passed marriage equality. And now you're saying, in essence, an infertile couple or a gay couple can't have a child. It's absurd to me. ERA, making the change to the Constitution that adds sex. This is a federal administration that degrades women. How do we not propose a constitutional amendment that adds sex? Well, I want to add this one, this one, this one, this one. Let's start by doing something and not making the perfect the enemy of the good and add sex, women, as a constitutionally protected class. Change the sexual harassment laws in the state of New York. Stop talking about it. We now have a standard of severe and pervasive sexual harassment. Severe and pervasive. That's too high a standard. I want to lower the standard. End the statute of limitations for rape in the second and third degree. End the gay panic defense, which is absurd. I panicked when I found out the person was gay, and that's a justification for my crime. We have to pass prevailing wage, my MWBE laws, marijuana.
Wait, MWBE?
License.
Sorry? What's
Minority Women Business Enterprise Law.
Okay.
We have the most aggressive minority and women business enterprise goal in the United States of America. 30% of government contracts for MWBE, which is the best empowerment program and economic development program and civil rights program, especially with all the work we're doing. That expires at the end of the year. That has to be renewed. Your favorite, marijuana and driver's licenses for undocumented, which I've supported since Elliot Spitzer. Those are the 10 items that if they want to be progressive, they must act on.
I didn't hear death and dying on your list.
That is not on the top 10 priorities. I don't think we get that done. I support it, doctor.
You'd sign it, right?
I would sign it. I think that's a bridge too far for this session. I'm hopeful, but I don't. From my read of the legislature, is they're not going to get there this year.
Okay, but what about ethics reform? I don't see that on the list.
I think they believe they have done the ethics reform that they're going to do this session. I have asked very simple ethics reform, but profound. They passed bills requiring Trump's taxes to be released if a legislative committee requests them.
Are you going to sign that?
I will sign it, even though the federal government has said the Democrats in the Congress have said they don't intend to ask us to do it. We now went to a system where the legislators got a pay raise, but there'll be no outside income. Okay, why don't we add to the Trump tax bill, just so it's not wholly political and partisan, legislators will release their taxes on an annual basis, redact any privacy concerns, spouses, etc. But just to show that they don't have any outside income, which is now in compliance with the law, which just gave them a raise for mm-hmm. no outside income.
Mm-hmm.
Statewide elected officials' taxes, my taxes, commissioners' taxes, anyone who got the pay raise. Release your taxes so taxpayers know that you have no outside income.
You've always released yours, haven't you?
Yep.
Yeah. Well, okay, that sounds reasonable. But now, one of the things that's puzzling me is a lot of people are having big fundraisers. You've had one. The New York Times just wrote you up about $25,000 as the price of admission. That's a lot of money, isn't it, Governor? Isn't there something we could do about that?
Well, we have the Campaign Finance Reform Commission that's going to come back at the end of the year, I hope, with public financing. But look, that is right now the nature of the beast. It's not that I did a $25,000 fundraiser. Everyone does. The Senate, you had certain senators stand up and criticize the fact that I did a $25,000 fundraiser. They left out a little fact that they themselves do $25,000 fundraisers. Senate Leader Andrea Stewart-Cousins and Mike Gennaris did one right down the block from the Capitol the same day they had their members stand up and condemn the practice. So authenticity is not their strong suit, nor the factual consistency.
Yeah, but it ain't right, is it?
It's not right. Well, it's not.
You know somebody's going to try to give you $25,000 and expect something back for it. You'd have to be crazy not to believe that.
Doctor, you know me many years.
I do.
And you know my father, and you know where I come from.
Yes.
If anybody ever walked up to me and said, I contributed to your campaign, and I therefore want you to do me a favor, I would knock that person on their rear end.
Uh-oh.
In a nice, polite,
knock,
legal way. But look, I think it's simpler than that. If you can be bought off for a contribution, I don't care if it's $10 or $5,000 or $50,000, you are unethical or you are criminal.
But isn't that always the perception? Somebody's going to walk in there. I mean, this Times article is very interesting. They said that the lobbyists were telling the guys to give the $25,000 because it would be helpful. Now, the perception is there. You would knock them on their keister if they came up to you, but what's the likelihood they would come up to you?
Well, if they don't come up to me and there's nobody seeks improper influence, then there's no issue. I can see the common perception. Well, if people are raising all this money, I'm sure they're repaying the favors, and that's old neighborhood common sense logic. My point is, you have to elect people who have the backbone and the ethics and the strength not to indulge in that. I mean, but I don't think the dollar limit matters, Doctor. I think if a person is prone to criminality, illegality.
Well, I don't think it's criminal or illegal, but I don't think it's right.
Oh, no, it's illegal. It's illegal. You do a favor and you...
Somebody gives you somebody gives you $25,000 to come to your fundraiser. I think you'd have to be pretty strange not to believe they're going to want to get something back for it. But if you don't say quid pro quo, you do this and I'll do that, then it's not illegal, right?
Well, look, you support a candidate because you think they do good things, right?
Yeah.
And I believe people support me because they believe I've done good things, either on the social policy side, on the physical development side, on the economic side. I cut taxes. We're building more than any state in the United States of America. We're the most progressive government. We passed marriage equality, $15, minimum wage, more rights for LGBT. TQ community than ever before. We're standing up to Trump like nobody else. That has a value to people. You're talking about the dark side. Well, a businessman contributed and then came and said, I want you to pass this piece of legislation for me. That is criminal.
No. What about rent? That would be criminal. What about rent control? You mentioned you were for it. Now, there are a lot of people who are against it. They think that people won't repair their apartments, that landlords... But a landlord will show up and give you your $25,000, won't they? And expect that maybe somewhere in your mind, you'll have some charity for them.
Yeah, well, then they would be wrong. I'm going to do the right thing as I see it and as I call it. And if you ever ask for a favor because you're a contributor, it'll be the last conversation we ever had.
Gotcha.
I would repeat your line on keister, but I don't know that everybody understands what a keister is. I think that's a select
fanny
group of the population. Fanny.
Okay. Will New Yorkers
be
able to...
Nobody even says fanny anymore, Doctor. Nobody says fanny.
Well, will New Yorkers be able to legally bet on sports from their cell phones anytime soon?
That's possible. It's possible. I think the time is short and the list is long. So I would counsel the legislative leaders get the priorities done because these priorities are not easy. Rent regulation is not easy. Surrogacy, if they think it's not easy, but if they think they're going to disrespect infertile couples and the gay community, they're making a mistake. ERA is not easy, but if they think they're going to disrespect women in this state, they're making a mistake. Sexual harassment law changes, same thing. Gay panic defense, same thing. Marijuana is very difficult. Prevailing wage is difficult. Driver's licenses for undocumented is difficult. So I think they... I don't hope their eyes aren't bigger than their stomach. You have a new Senate... which is still feeling its way.
Yep.
And is a little ambitious in their stated goals, but short on their accomplishments. They need to get things done if they're going to vindicate the promise they made to the people of the state when we elected a Democratic Senate and we promised the most progressive laws in the country.
Okay. Okay.
So they have work to do. They are stopping surrogacy.
Okay.
They are stopping the ERA.
Okay,
stopping marijuana.
Okay.
They're stopping driver's licenses. You know,
you said that already.
They're stopping prevailing
wage. You said that already,
wage.
And I got other questions.
They're stopping gay panic defense.
Okay. The Joint Commission on Public Ethics, J-COPE, or as some people call it, J-JOKE, is leaving. And the good government advocates say the head of the commission should come from outside government and outside your personal orbit, because you tend to pick people for that who you know. What do you think about that?
I don't know what that means, outside government.
In other words, outside your personal
orbit. Yeah, my personal opinion.
I mean, this is the Ethics Commission, who have not been getting high marks, and they, you know, shouldn't it be somebody who isn't one of your people?
Let me ask you a question, Doctor.
Of course.
The head of J-COPE regulates the good government groups. Do you really think you should be seconding a recommendation from the regulated entity as to who the regulator should be?
Yes.
Or do you think that's a conflict?
No, no conflict. Or a minor conflict compared to what really goes on. Okay. Are you running for a fourth term or not? I heard you said you were.
Will you endorse me?
No, I'm asking a question. I like you. But what? Are you running? Because that would be justification for raising all this money. Because if you're not running, you said you're not running for president, you like Joe Biden, why in the world don't you get it? Don't you see?
Well, let's follow your logic. I'm raising money. If I wasn't running for office, why would I be raising money?
Well, I don't know. You know, everybody has to make decisions. I'm just asking you a straight-out Shartakian question. Are you?
And I'm giving you a Cuomonian answer. If I was not, why would I be raising money?
Yes, doctor, I am running for a fourth term.
Hello. Have no intention. I wanted to pause to punctuate how you have skirted my question.
I got your question.
Okay, and you're going to ignore it.
No, I mean, yes and no. You're running for a fourth term. You plan to run for a fourth term. How's that?
I plan to run for a fourth term.
Okay. That's all I want to know.
Look, let's be serious for a second. I have been in the federal government. I was a cabinet secretary. Normally people do that. Their careers go in the reverse. Your last highest position is a cabinet position. I did the opposite. I had a cabinet position. I was in Washington for 8 years during the Clinton administration. I traveled all around the world. I was with Bill Clinton yesterday and Hillary Clinton yesterday, and we were reminiscing. Did that. I've been there. I believe I'm making a difference in the state of New York. I believe that in my heart. When I look at my daughter's faces, I believe that I'm leaving this state better for them. I believe this state is doing great things at a time when a nation is floundering. I believe that. I believe we have the opportunity to set a standard of progressivity and normalcy. I know this job. I work 7 days a week at it, and I think we have accomplishments. And the older you get, the simpler it gets. I think I'm doing good things, doctor. I believe I'm doing good things.
So that
and I
means...
believe I know how to do this. And it gives me a personal sense of satisfaction to believe that at the end of the day, with all the nastiness in the world and all the politics in the world and the critics and the naysayers and the negativity, I know what I got done. And we have a lot going on now, and I would like to do it for as long as the people of the state of New York believe I am a positive.
Okay, that's a good answer. Let me ask you about the Gateway Tunnel. You went to the White House, you're going to get it?
Oh, I'm sure President Trump is just dying to be as helpful as he can to New York as possible.
So that's a no. It's not going well.
Well, I keep asking. You know me, just because you say no doesn't mean I don't ask. I'm paid to advocate for the state of New York. I'm talking to the president about the Gateway Tunnel. I'm talking to the president about the Second Avenue subway tunnel in Manhattan extension. I'm talking to him about more infrastructure money. We need him to approve the air train at LaGuardia Airport that goes into Manhattan. So the federal government is very powerful, whether or not you like them. They are very powerful. So I do... and I still want to reform the SALT laws, which are long-term a economic dagger for New Yorkers. We've talked about many times. So, Yes, I talk to the president. I talk to the cabinet members. I beseech our Congress people to advocate for us because we need help. You know, Lake Ontario, we're looking at flooding. We need federal help to rebuild that shoreline. So, yes, we have politics, but we still have to do day-to-day government work.
Yeah, but you laughed when I said, are you going to get it in terms of, you know, Trump doing anything for this blue state? You got to keep asking, right? Is that the issue?
But I keep asking, I keep fighting, I keep trying, I keep saying, put aside the politics and let's do what's right. Put aside the politics and let's do what's right.
Should the Clintons, assuming that Joe Biden is in the lead and is going to stay in the lead, should the Clintons be helping him or are they poison at this stage of the game?
No, the Bill Clinton's administration. Forget the look. We are in a weird political moment of cross currents and the Democratic Party is trying to define itself and searching for its identity. The Republican Party is galvanizing hate. But I take a longer view, right? I was in politics and then I was out. My father was in politics, lost an election, and then we sat on the porch together for many years. Looking back at the old days, history brings a sense of clarity, and it's a lens that I still have with me going through what I went through. Bill Clinton did great things for this nation under horrific circumstances. You think Donald Trump is being harassed by a Congress. Try impeachment. That's harassment. And he kept
Wait.
Working.
So you're telling me that Trump is right, that because there's discussion of impeachment, that's harassment?
No. I said he's complaining about harassment. He won't talk about infrastructure unless he stopped talking about impeachment. Bill Clinton went through the process and never stopped working. Bill Clinton did the exact opposite of Donald Trump. Bill Clinton actually worked harder and got more done despite the greatest hostility of a Congress. And Donald Trump is so thin-skinned that even talk of it, and he refuses to do his job. His job is to govern. You don't have the right to say, I'm going to stop governing. And I'm not going to do infrastructure, and I'm not going to do anything for the nation because I don't like what you're saying. I can't come in here, doctor, and say, you know what? The Senate, they're a bunch of clowns. I don't like what they're saying. I don't like this one. I don't like that one. So therefore, I'm not going to Lake Ontario, and I'm not going to do any flood preparation. Give me a break. This is the height of narcissism. And Bill Clinton was the exact opposite.
I got a minute and a half, and that's a good answer. There's a lot of attention that's being paid to your personal life with you guys and Sandra Lee selling her Westchester house. The press has been making a big thing about it. Is that appropriate? Should the press be talking about that stuff?
The press can talk about whatever they want to talk about. That's called the First Amendment. It's called the commercial enterprise that they're engaged in. I'm selling the house that is, I don't know if it's newsworthy, but for some, especially in the local community, it's interesting. I lived in Mount Kisco for many, many years. When I came back from Albany, we moved to, when I came back from Washington, we moved to Albany. So I've been there for, close to 20 years in two different locations. And I love that house. It's a beautiful house. But as I said, you get to a different point. The kids move out, and we have this big house with a lot of bedrooms. So I can see why people find that of interest. But look, I've grown up in the goldfish bowl of life, right? I was a governor's son. I was the governor's campaign manager, 23 years old. I came into the Capitol, a dollar a year special assistant, and it was all sorts of press intrigue from that day.
Well, anyway,
I
got to tell you something right now. First of all, I really appreciate your, you know, our reunion here. I think that was great. Glad you're back. Number one. Number two, you got a guy named Asapardi who's working for you. Now, he's a tough guy. He was my student years ago, and I know not to fool with him. But I was told to be out of here at 35 after. We're 22 seconds over that now. So I want to thank you, but on the other hand, I'm not going to get that guy mad at me.
Two things. First, if you think Asapardi is a tough guy, you don't know tough. He is as sweet as they come. He's a cream puff. Second of all, I have a challenge. I'm going to end where I started. I didn't go away. It's now we're reengaged in the legislative session, and you tend to be focused more on the goings on in this business. But I want to invite you to come on a trip with me, because you can fit on the six seater.
I'm a pretty thin guy.
To remind people that there is another side of the world of the governor's job, which is how government affects real people on real time. I'm going to take you with me. We're going to go out on a trip to broaden your horizons, doctor, beyond the Capitol.
Does it include lunch?
Yes, it's a lunch served on the airplane.
Sandwiches?
I serve it to you because it's a very small plane, so I reach over and grab the sandwich. And
I don't eat bread.
Well, you tell me that morning what you want for lunch, and I will bring it.
Governor, thank you so much for being here. I really mean it. Thanks a lot.
Thanks, doctor. Good to talk to you. Okay.